E, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi to mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pravzaprav sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Alahovi partizani. Esselamu alejkum, poslušalstvo Radija Študent.
Alejkum selam.
Danes z Anjo Karovič-Guzel iz aktualno-politične redakcije govoriva o Hutijih. Kot od začetka izraelske ofenzive proti palestinskemu ljudstvu lahko beremo v svetovnih medijih, sploh pa zadnje tedne, je to jemensko gibanje trgovcem in imperialistom v Rdečem morju začelo povzročati kar resne težave. Napadajo namreč ladje, ki so povezane z Izraelom oziroma z izraelskimi poslovneži. V zadnjem tednu je naprimer več velikih ladjarjev sporočil, da ne bodo več pluli prek Suezkega prekopa in prek Rdečega morja, ampak bodo za pot iz Evrope v Azijo njihove ladje potovale okoli Afrike. Američani so tako naznanili oblikovanje neke nove vojaške koalicije, katere namen je obramba svobodne trgovine v Rdečem morju. Kdo so ti Huti, o katerih govoriva, kako si izbirajo tarče, pa konc koncev, a se jim sploh reče Huti, a obstaja neko bolj pravilno poimenovanje?
Ja, tako, Klemen. Pravilno poimenovanje je Ansar Allah, tako se tudi sami imenujejo, kar pomeni v direktnem prevodu Božji partizani. Gre za zaiditsko politično in vojaško gibanje, ki se je v okviru šiitskega vzpona v Jemnu kot opozicija vladi Alija Abdullaha Saleha začelo vzpostavljati v 90-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja. Zdaj v spopadih z vladno vojsko in vladno financiranimi oboroženimi skupinami severno-jemenskih šejkov se razvila v visoko dovršeno gverilsko silo. Politično in družbeno gibanje je tako postalo tudi odlična vojaška sila, ki se je v obdobju med letoma 2011 in 2014 pridobilo zadostno družbeno podporo in tudi vojaško premoč, da so lahko prevzeli državno oblast. Da skrajšamo zgodbo, od takrat v Jemnu traja državljanska vojna, v osnovi so na eni strani torej Allahovi partizani, na drugi strani pa vlada, ki jo podpirata predvsem Saudova Arabija in Združeni arabski emirati, pa tudi seveda ameriška vojska.
V glavnem Ansar Allah nadzorujejo zahod Jemna, vključno s prestolnico Sano, nadzor pa imajo tudi nad velikim delom jemenske obale Rdečega morja. No in v tej ožini med afriškim robom in arabskim polotokom, ki pravimo tudi vrata Sous, zdaj božji partizani napadajo tovorne ladje. Pred tednom dni je danski ladjar Maersk sporočil, da do nadaljnega ne bo uporabljal morske poti prek Rdečega morja. Dan pred tem pa je ladjo Maersk Gibraltar skoraj zadela raketa, so sporočili. Maersk, ki je po ladjarskih kapacitetah največji globalni ladjar, se je rajš odločil za več kot 5000 km daljšo pot, ki poteka okoli Afrike. In temu je sledila množica ostalih ladjarjev in drugih, predvsem naftnih firm, ki so ravno tako prekinile ladjarske poti skozi Rdeče morje.
Prva ladja, ki so jo zajeli, je bila Galaxy Leader in v bistvu akcijo zauzemanja te ladje s helikopterjem, na katerem je med drugim tudi bila palestinska zastava, so Ansar Allah objavili tudi na internetu. Bilo je kot neka igrica Counter Strike vibes. V zahodnih medijih pa je bilo mogoče slišati kritiko, ki se zdaj tiče tega, da naj bi božji partizani nediskriminatorno napadali ladje, ki plujajo po Rdečem morju. Zdaj, odgovor je bil zelo: mi imamo jasne zahteve, napadali bomo ladje, ki so povezane z Izraelom, tako ali drugače. Zdaj, obstajajo tudi ladje, ki se zares niso hoteli ustaviti, da bi v bistvu preverili, da bi v bistvu preverili Ansar Allah, ampak I guess da v primeru, če nisi povezan z Izraelom, se pač ustaviš, če vladajo tem delu morja. Torej, njihova zadnja beseda je bila, da ne bodo odnehali, dokler traja agresija na Gazo. Zdaj pa o tem, kako božji partizani zbirajo tarče, sem tudi govorila z Iso Blumjem z Štolkomske univerze, ki je zgodovinar in tudi eden od zares redkih zahodnih avtorjev, ki se z jemensko rezistenco ukvarja celostno in ne površno.
They very specifically made a statement yesterday to address this accusation, and they said that look, we only that any country that flies ships through the Red Sea are open to do so or willing to are welcome to do so as long as they're not doing business with Israeli ships, as long as they're not docking in occupied Palestinian ports. If they're sailing from one part of the world to the next, they're welcome to use the Red Sea. So the criteria is if it's an Israeli a ship that flies the Israeli flag, which is a rare occasion, but it's a ship that's owned by partly or fully by Israeli citizens, or if it does indeed business with it, if it's delivering services and goods to Israeli ports, then that's the criteria for capturing the ship or turning the ship around and diverting it from using the Red Sea as an access point. All other ships are, as far as Ansar Allah is concerned, are welcome to use the Red Sea. These things are largely documented ahead of time. They're delivered to anyone who has responsibility of protecting the waters of the Red Sea, the open seas, which Ansar Allah has been trying to provide that legitimizing service for a long time. And the problem is that in many ways, the United States itself and its partners may in fact be inducing this embargo, trying to create the conditions of panic, economic panic, to have larger numbers to actually demand that something be done about Ansar Allah. Where in fact Ansar Allah again yesterday made a very explicit statement that as long as you're not doing business with Israel or Israelis, you're welcome to use our waters. We're not going to attack you. And that's something that is sometimes misreported or often misreported in many media. Yeah.
Seveda pa so se kdo drug kot svetovni policisti Američani nemudoma odzvali in napovedali koalicijo 10 držav, ki ne bi varovala prosto trgovino v Rdečem morju. Kdo so te, ki so v koaliciji teh 10 držav?
Ja, zdaj, Klemen, to je zapleteno. V bistvu so danes ravno na ameriškem obramnem ministrstvu sporočili, da koalicija obsega sedaj 20 držav. Mm-hmm. Sicer pa niso sporočili, za katere države gre. Zdaj na Reutersu sklepajo, da vsaj 8 držav ni hotelo biti imenovanih zaradi politične občutljivosti operacije. Ko so najprej naznanili to svojo koalicijo, so Američani našteli Bahrajn, Kanado, Francijo, Združeno kraljestvo, Italijo, Nizozemsko, Norveško, Španijo in Sejšele.
Bahrajn je med temi edina arabska država, ki se je priključila, zakaj tako se tudi ostale niso?
Bahrajn ima...
Bahrajn kot edina arabska počne v tej koaliciji, ja, da bi bilo boljš reči?
Ja, zavezniki so. V bistvu Američani imajo pri njih že v 90-ih letih pomorsko vojaško bazo s peto floto, to je kar nekaj vojaških ladij. Zdaj pa tudi Španija je tudi zanikala udeležbo v tej misiji. Italija je tudi sporočila, da bo ladja ostala pod italijanskim vodstvom. Je pa na primer Grčija sporočila, da se bo z vojaško ladjo pridružila skupini pod ameriškim vodstvom. Očitno je torej, da ta koalicija ni baš 100% podpora Zahodu. Ta neprijeten položaj, v katerem so se zdaj morebitne zaveznice Američanov in Izraela znašle, pojasni pa moj sogovorec.
Even today or yesterday, Spain alerted the world that they are in fact not part of this so-called coalition called by the United States via Bahrain. So it's already in question if in fact this was something that was announced without the consultation of the Seychelles or Bahrain for sure signed on to this. But Spain already, probably because of political pressure in Spain and because of the important business players in the Spanish politics, they don't want to be part of this. And they said that they will only act if NATO and the EU acts collectively, which means no, it's not going to happen. The Netherlands, it's a major shipping destination. It has stated openly as political policy that they support Israel in these measures in Gaza. But there may be also pressure on from Dutch actors to scale back their embracing what seems to be largely a failed diplomatic effort by the U.S. to bring parties on board. Again, because UAE and Saudi Arabia are trying as best as possible to stay off the radar screen of those who are supporting Palestinians in the struggle. Because they will most likely receive the brunt of any military action if anything takes place.
Američani so torej oblikovali to svojo koalicijo, ampak kaj bodo oni zdaj z njo počeli? A bodo sploh do nadaljnega mogli patrulirati v Rdečem morju?
Ja, zdaj toliko se ve kot to, kdo je v koaliciji, ampak še to, ne? Američani zdaj tudi grozijo z bombardiranjem direktnim Jemna, ker se jim zares ne splača prestreljevati drone in rakete Ansar Alaha. Zdaj, če se vprašamo, zakaj grozijo, je tudi, ker je pač božjim partizanom uspelo resno ogroziti gospodarstvo in gospodarstvo Izraela. Mislim, gospodarstvo Združenih držav in Izraela, kar pa je, kot vemo, edini jezik, ki ga govorijo. Zdaj, mogoče še bolj pomembno, ker bi Američani nekako dolgoročno vzdrževanje mornarice v stalni pripravljenosti sredi morja bi za njih bilo zelo, zelo drago. Zdaj, kot sem omenila, sestrelitev vsakega drona, ki ga Ansar Alah pošlje proti ladjam, ameriško mornarico stane preko $2 milijona.
Kar je tudi za Američane zelo kaj.
Ja, še posebej, zaradi tega, ker v bistvu droni in rakete, oziroma predvsem droni, ki jih so večinsko poslani, Ansar Alah stanejo dokaj po ceni, kar je vmes med $2,000 in $3,000 po kosu. Zdaj pač, Američani, kot smo rekli, uporabljajo te zelo drage protiletalske rakete. Vprašanje pa je tudi, ali bodo Američani dejansko šli odprto vojno v Jemnu in Blumi, moj sogovornik, misli, da najbrž ne.
The issue is whether or not the United States is willing to engage at this stage a war that will likely impact their most important allies, Saudi Arabia and UAE, who will likely receive the heaviest burden of fighting again Ansar Allah's forces. And the disruption that could cause for other countries who are probably negotiating on the side and saying, look, they're not threatening our ships if we do business and don't send goods with our ships directly to Israeli ports or as they're saying, occupied Palestinian ports, then there should not be an issue for us. So there's a lot of pressure quietly to not escalate this conflict over access to the Red Sea.
Zdaj v bistvu edini, ki so zares nekaj naredili, so ravno božji partizani v Rdečem morju. Ostale arabske države nekako so anti-izraelsko retoriko, kjer nekaj obtožajo, na nek način umirjajo ljudstvo, ki izraža nestrinjanje z seveda izraelsko agresijo, a vendar v materialni praksi nihče ne počne nič, razen vaših partizanov.
This will all backfire. Any country that joins the United States to support the efforts in Gaza against the people whoever remains in Gaza are going to suffer the popularity campaign. Many countries that are bordering North Yemen now are really suffering from, you know, they're expected to support and provide logistical support for Israel. We know that many of the shipments that used to go by sea via the Red Sea are now docking in Dubai, and by truck they're delivering goods to Israel. There's now been open stories about this. So there's a land corridor now delivering goods to Israel. This is something that UAE and Saudi Arabia do not want to admit, but that's what's happening. And that's the reason is that there is, again, overwhelming popular support for what Ansar Allah is doing. And they want other countries to follow suit, which you can see with Malaysia. Malaysia did today or yesterday declaring that no Israeli ship or no Israeli-owned ship will be allowed to port dock in Malaysian ports. And this could very quickly spread if people on the streets start demanding actions from their government. But still today, conspicuously, Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, UAE, they have all, obviously Egypt and Jordan, they all have all remained desperately trying to stay out of the discussion and deflect accusations that they are, in fact, supporting Israel in their war on Gaza.
Stvari se dogajajo v Rdečem morju, ampak slišimo pa tudi o dogajanju na izraelski meji z Libanonom, ne?
Ja, tako. Sicer libanonsko šiitsko uporniško gibanje Hezbola tam izmenjuje ogen na severu okupirane Palestine in jugu Libanona z Izraelom. Ampak zaradi nekoliko bolj zapletenega položaja znotraj libanonskega političnega prostora Hezbolahu ni v interesu, da bi zares prišlo do večje eskalacije, tako da se na nek način Hezbolah zadržuje na nekakršne provokacije od strani Izraela.
Yes, Ansar Allah is certainly leading the way. They have they don't have to deal with the delicate politics as Hezbollah does, which is always having to deal with the fact that they need an alliance inside the Lebanese political context in order for them to not become pariahs and open up the gates for possible exclusion from being legitimate political actors in the Lebanese context. This is Hezbollah's concerns. They have the capacity and they have been regularly punishing Israeli actions on their on their assets, on their capabilities, whether or not there's been, who initiated the back and forth across the border between Lebanon and occupied Palestine in the last month or so is an open question, but certainly Hezbollah has been restraining itself. And most likely, like with their Israeli rivals, do not want to see an all-out war in the north for probably different reasons. But again, Ansar Allah does not have to deal with, it is a coalition already. It already has demonstrated over 8 years that it's able to withstand enormous pressure, direct war on this region, starvation politics, exclusion from any participation in long-term solution, drawing out solutions for what will happen to Yemen. And so they don't have to cater to any kind of larger political dynamic as Hezbollah has to in Lebanese context.
Če pogledamo po regiji, pa se lahko tudi vprašamo, kakšno vlogo igra tukaj Iran. V zahodnih medijih je nekak dobro vzpostavljena povezava med Iranom in med jemenskimi gverilci.
Ja, Klemen, zdaj to Američani radi in Izraelci povezujejo oziroma uturijo iransko upletenost kadarkoli lahko.
Tako je bilo tudi takrat, ko je Hamas.
Tako, ja. Tako. In zdaj za razliko od Hezbolaha, za Božje partizane ni zares dokazana iranska podpora oziroma obstajajo neki zelo negotovi dokazi o nekem iranskem financiranju in obroževanju, sicer ki so se pojavili šele leta 2011 in takrat naj bi jemenska obalna straža v spremstvu ameriške vojne ladje o pregledu plovila Džihan odkrila neko večjo količino orožja, ampak razen nekaj orožja je bil tam eksploziv C4, čeprav iranska vlada zdaj zanikala povezave s tovorno ladjo, je jemenska vlada ustrajala, da je orožje namenjeno božjim partizanom, ampak so se ugibanja Združenih narodov dejansko bolj nagibala v smer, da ni, zaradi tega, ker v bistvu skupine v Somaliji so bolj nagnjene k uporabi eksploziva tipa C4, Allahovi partizani pa ne.
And most likely their allies in Syria and Iran have also considerable amounts of concern about the war spreading. Iran has also been quite conspicuously absent in this war on Gaza, despite what initially the Americans and Israel tried to pin all of this on Iran, but they've even scaled that back. You don't hear much rhetoric coming from US or Israel that Iran is part of this. It's
Zar je zdaj iranski obramni minister Mohammad Reza Ashtiani le odgovoril na te plane Američanov in koalicije v Rdečem morju, ter sporočil, da bodo imeli težave, če naredijo kaj iracionalnega. Pravi, da ne morejo kar izvajati ukrepe v regiji, ki jo imajo Iranci čez. Razumljivo, ne?
Ja, ampak če torej niso zares povezani z Iranom, se tukaj postavlja vprašanje, odkot pa dobijo orožje.
Evo, to sem vprašala tudi Blumija.
They mostly relied on their own resources. The United Arab Republic, the Arab Republic of Yemen, that was unified after 1991-92, had a considerable military capacity. It, with the unification with South Yemen and then the training and arming of the Republican Guard, which was about a 300,000 large force trained by the United States and others under Ali Abdullah Saleh, the previous president, who was overthrown in 2011. This was probably the biggest military force in the Arabian Peninsula. They had ballistic missiles, they had factories, they had technicians, they had a very developed defense system where most of their weapons were stored inside mountains. And again, very, very large military capacity that was basically inherited by Ansarullah once they took power in 2014-15. And many of the loyalists of Ali Abdullah Saleh simply transferred their loyalty to a nationalist resistance to Saudi, Emirati, Qatari attempts at invading Yemen in 2015. So they've kept those weapons. Right. Well, they're only refusing to deliver aid and assistance to the areas in where Ansarullah's is administering, and they've used this over in the past to try to pressure, and indeed as almost a weapon to undermine the administration of Ansarullah in this large area where they're governing at least 20 million people, often in very difficult conditions because of the 8-year war in that part of Yemen. But UN is delivering still goods and services, and they have mostly done so via Aden. If they do read it, Aden ports are no longer accessible because ships refuse, or insurance companies are charging so much for ships to deliver, then that's probably the reason, if indeed shipments of assistance have stopped to southern Yemen. But that's something that needs to be further explored. I think the nuance here is actually asking a follow-up question from the UN and ask them to be more specific, because again, they have regularly denied aid to the areas where 20 plus million people live under Ansarullah's administration. And that has largely been a policy from the United Nations, which again follows the decree that they recognize the government that Saudi Arabia supports And that's the one that's sometimes based in Aden, but most of the time based in Riyadh. So there's these kinds of nuances that actually need to be laid out in your reporting and when you talk about that aspect of the story.
Torej, Organizacija združenih narodov je pred tednom dni sporočila, da ukinjajo humanitarno pomoč Jemnu in zatrdili so tudi, da ni povezano z jemenskimi antiimperialističnimi operacijami v Rdečem morju. Blumi je pojasnil, da gre za res tudi za pogosto prakso.
Tako, zdaj pa Ansar Allah je pokazal tudi izredno vojaško moč in iznajdljivost. Če se spomnimo, v bistvu so edina vojska, ki je zastrelila vojaško letalo F-15, 2015, tudi to je letnica. Zdaj pa pretekli mesec so tudi zadeli ladjo z balistično raketo, kar je pa prav tako edini primer. Blumi pravi, da gre za odlično vojaško organiziranost, a tudi motiv.
And more importantly, whenever the so-called alliance against Ansar Allah, the Saudi, Qatari, UAE forces were fighting in Yemen, whenever they would lose, and they would lose often these battles, the weapons would just simply be confiscated by Ansar Allah and brought back into their territory. The problem with the coalition against Ansar Allah is that they were largely composed of mercenaries from Sudan and Yemenis who had no motivation in what they were fighting for. So the moment they faced real resistance from Ansar Allah forces, they abandoned their weapons, they ran away. And so considerable amount of weapons were taken that way over the years. And so that's how Ansar Allah was able to continue its struggle against this long war, in this long war against it. And this is why after many years, it reversed engineered a lot of the drones and the missiles that were fired at it. And so they're able to now manufacture their own drones, very, very crude, but they're able to deliver, you know, some dangerous, over 1,000 kilometers, they sent some missiles to Abu Dhabi and Riyadh. So during the war a couple of years ago. So that's pretty impressive. And all the countries in the region know this. And the United States Navy is familiar, knows this. I mean, they claim they've been shooting down some drones, which is not too hard to do. Because again, these things are not very fast and they're quite crude. But in its own right, Saudi Arabia and UAE know perfectly well that if the war were to start again and Ansar Allah unleashes its arsenal against them, they would be an economic disaster for both of them. For both Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi. So they're stuck in a very difficult position right now.
Človek se tukaj vpraša, zakaj so božji partizani sploh tako zelo ustrajni podporniki palestinskega gibanja, ker smo slišali, da ko so prišle grožnje strani Izraela in ZDA, so zelo jasno rekli, da ne bodo prenehali.
Ja, v bistvu zdaj to je dolga zgodovina, lahko bi rekli nekot že neke same začetke, ko je koalicija postala Ansar Allah. Fun fact, leta 2000, ko je v bistvu obšel svet posnetek 30. septembra tistega leta, ki je nastal v Gazi in je prikazoval smrt palestinskega otroka, ki umre očetovem naročju. To je v bistvu bil trenutek, ko je tudi jemenski gledalec tega videa, Hussein al-Huti, skoval rek Ansar Allaha.
So since 1946-47, when the United Nations was opened, and they were already discussing recognizing the creation of a separate Jewish state in Palestine, the then leader Imam Yahya and then his son Imam Ahmed were opposed to this. And they were the first ones in the United Nations itself to actually voice disapproval of this creation of a state, a separate state in Palestine at the expense of the peoples of Palestine. And they've been a very large major advocates and tried to find ways of establishing military alliances with Egypt, with Iraq, with Syria, on the lines that they would actually be able to use these resources to liberate Palestine at some point. So this is kind of in the DNA of Yemenis for a long time now already. And so it's a natural progression for them, a populist coalition fighting a war to defend Yemen from neighboring countries would include the struggle of Palestine as their portfolio. Throughout the modern era of Yemeni history, any political leader who embraced supporting Palestinian resistance, indeed George Habash and some of the more radical Palestinian groups, had long received military support. They were given protection by both North and South Yemen. They were allowed to train in Yemeni territories. So there's enormous sympathy amongst Yemenis for Palestinians and what they have gone through for the last 75 years. And so from day one, Ansar Allah has made in their open call, which, you know, is that they declared that God is great, that down with the United States and down with Israel. Yeah, so I mean, this is their political statement from day one. And they have stood by this position. They've long had to, interestingly enough, we forget that Israeli troops alongside Emirati troops are occupying parts of Yemeni territory right now in Socotra. It seems that Yemenis attacked Israeli troops in some of the Red Sea islands in the beginning of October. And there's an ongoing quiet struggle between Israeli assets in and around Yemen and Ansar Allah forces. Something that's not really discussed, but it is there, and we know that Israeli passport holders have been killed fighting against Ansar Allah in Yemen over the last 8 years. So this is most likely a much deeper struggle that most of us are not aware of because they're not discussed outside of, you know, highly secured circles.
Torej, pomembno je podčrtati, da ko govorimo o Hutih, torej to, kar je največkrat v zahodnih, oziroma v kar v večini medijev, da govorimo le o družini Al-Huti in da gibanja ne sme, da to nas ne sme zavesti, da bi na organizacijo zdaj gledali preveč poenostavljeno.
Yes, it's a coalition again. There are many different parties who existed in, especially in northern Yemen, since the 1980s, and they were the factions were sometimes quite violently hostile to each other, whether they be Nasserist or Ba'athist Party or other forms of socialist pan-Arabist groups. There were sectarian groups that had backings from Qatar or from Saudi Arabia. And the UAE was largely supportive of kind of a liberal middle class, entrepreneurial class. And Ansar Allah's leadership today is drawn from this big coalition that included the General People's Congress, which was the party of the largest party in Yemen under Ali Abdullah Saleh, as well as those who are followers of the Zaydi, various Zaydi movements from Sa'ada in the far north, who had fought several wars against the government of Yemen throughout the 2000s, had a war that they fought against Saudi Arabia in 2000.
Torej, Ansar Allah nikakor niso nekakršni verski fanatiki, kot je to pogosto predstavljeno v površnih študijah in medijih. Za nastanek je absolutno nek primarni vzvod povezovanja je izviralo iz vere, ampak primarno pa je za nastanek vsen razlog politične narave. Za konec, Allahu Akbar, Al-Maut li Amerika, Al-Maut li Izrael in...
V današnjem kultivatorju sva Huti je kultivirala Anja in Klemen, tehniciral pa je Bugi. يقود الفوز لنصرتنا إن اسم محمد الهادي روح الآمال لنهضتنا روح الآمال لنهضتنا.
Kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi to mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pravzaprav sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.